It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to go through some headlines, and then we'll be talking with some additional fabulous women of the West. We have 16 amazing women that will be speaking tomorrow at the Stand for Colorado rally. And go to standforcolorado.com for more information. Meet us at 11 a.m. It starts 11 a.m. tomorrow morning on the west steps of the Capitol. And the reason that we are doing this in the on January 8th, in the middle of winter, is because that is the first day of the legislative session. And what we saw happen last year, 2019, with this group of legislators, is that they really like force. But we are Coloradans, and we are freedom people. And so we are looking at these issues as freedom versus force. And that is how we will be looking at the issues tomorrow. So 16 amazing women. You won't want to miss that. StandForColorado.com. And one other thing, this is very organic. And if you can't make it, but want to do something to help, make sure that you invite other people to attend. And then you can actually make a contribution to help defray the expenses as well. And thank you to all of you who have done that so far. We greatly appreciate that. So again, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And if something is a really good idea, you should not have to use force to implement that. We continue to see the socialization of these things that are key to making our lives better. Freedom of transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, data, healthcare. And when government gets involved in these things, the quality goes down, the supply becomes limited, and the cost goes up. And that's why we need to work towards freedom. Big government and big business like each other. And they are all in bed with each other down at the Capitol under the Golden Dome between the politicians, the bureaucrats, and the interested parties. Those PBIs are all working together to take your money and to take your freedom. And that's why we need to stand for Colorado tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Capitol. So thank you to the team, Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, for all that you do. Really appreciate your help in keeping this train on the track. Producer Steve, how are you doing today?
Just fine. Thinking about, you talked about costs and whatnot, but related to tomorrow, I think one of your biggest costs must have been what you paid the weatherman.
Can you believe it? It is now. No. The weather committee has done a fabulous job. It looks like we have a forecast of 61 degrees on January 8th. The good Lord is smiling on this. I greatly appreciate that. Can you believe it, Steve?
No. I mean, when you first, back in December, said, hey, we're going to do this, and here's why. And everyone's scratching their heads, especially me, saying, oh, my gosh, what could the weather possibly do to an event like this? Well, now we have the answer.
It is pretty amazing. So, again, I want to acknowledge and thank the good Lord on that one, because I really appreciate that. I want to thank each of you listeners as well. You are each, you're valued, and you're treasured. Today, strive for excellence, take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. Steve, when I was looking for the inspiration / wisdom quote for today, I'm not sure who said this, because I was going through things yesterday. It says, we should not strive to be good people. We should strive to be better people. And I've been thinking about that for 24 hours. That is something that we should strive to do every day, is to be better people.
You know, that's okay. This is the first time I'm hearing this, and it bounces around inside your head. It's like, well, yeah. I mean, that's almost like a big duh.
But you know what? I haven't heard that in a long, long time. So we should not strive to be good people. We should strive to be better people. So I love that. Email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Be sure and check out my website and go to standforcolorado.com. You will see the list, the pictures, and the list of the amazing speakers that we have. And I think that Zach will have a video on there today that the girls had made regarding just getting to the Capitol. It does require some extra time, some extra planning to get down there. I know it's not the most convenient thing at 11 o'clock on a Wednesday, but if you're downtown, maybe take an early lunch or just plan ahead, because we need to let these PBIs know that we care about what's going on down there and that we are watching. So our inspiration for today, I thought, was very, very important, and that is Edmund Burke. And Edmund Burke was an Anglo-Irish statesman and philosopher. He was born in Dublin in 1729. He died in 1797. He served as a member of Parliament between 1766 and 1794 in the House of Commons with the Whig Party, and after moving to London in 1750. Burke was a proponent of underpinning virtues with manners in society, and of the importance of religious institutions for the moral stability and good of the state. And I actually pulled two quotes from him. The first is, "All that is essential for the triumph of evil as is that good men do nothing." Again, all that is essential for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. And so instead of doing nothing tomorrow at 11 o'clock, be sure and be down at the Capitol to stand for Colorado. The other thing, I just thought we had to add that in, and because you and I were talking about this yesterday, Steve, I asked you what you thought about this, but he said, "Rudeness is the weak man's imitation of strength." And we see so much rudeness today in our society. And so rudeness is the weak man's imitation of strength. Steve, your thought?
Well, any I don't want to use the word confrontation, but any meeting with the hard left, this is one of their favorite tricks, to just shout you down, mm-hmm. or shout anybody down who's making sense or making a valid point. Let me just shout you down, and I will appear as the victor. But it's incredibly rude. I mean, discourse is two parties, and the one party now in these days, it's just like, well, sorry, you cannot have your point of view, and I'm going to shout you down.
And that's why we have to engage in the battle of ideas and get our brains around these ideas, so that we can calmly respond to these different issues. And that is what will happen tomorrow, as you'll hear 16 women calmly explain why freedom is more advantageous to everyday hardworking people than force. And so let's have a little bit of levity here, though. The source was Linda, I think, Dobson. And this was what she had to say. She said, "After my husband and I purchased an old home from two elderly sisters, I became concerned about the house's lack of insulation. 'If they could live here all those years, so can we,' my husband declared. One early winter night, the temperature plunged below zero, and we woke up to find the interior walls covered with frost. My husband called the sisters to ask how they kept the house warm. After a brief conversation, he hung up. He said, 'For the past 30 years, he muttered, 'they've gone to Florida for the winter.'" Okay, and on that note, Steve, let's jump in here. The Golden Globes were on Sunday night, and Ricky Gervais, the comedian, was the master of ceremonies. And you've got a soundbite that I think is very important. Certainly, everybody's been talking about it. But if you would play that one more time, I'd greatly appreciate it, Steve.
Yeah, and pay particular notice. I mean, you won't get a sense of how long this is. The latter part of it is what we really want to focus on.
Okay.
"Apple roared into the TV game with a morning show, a superb drama." Yeah. "A superb drama about the importance of dignity and doing the right thing, made by a company that runs sweatshops in China." So, well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent, wouldn't you? So, if you do win an award tonight...
Here it is.
Don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So, if you win, right, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God, and f*** off, okay?
So,
you know, Steve, I've listened to that a couple of times or several times. And, you know, we had the director of No Safe Spaces on when the movie was released here in Colorado. And one of the things that's a movie that Adam Carolla and Dennis Prager star in is that they said that the culture will start to change and it'll begin with the comedians. And so Dave Chappelle had something very edgy where he basically kind of called out all of this virtue signaling, all those that virtue signal. And then Ricky Gervais, I'm actually very surprised that he was asked to be the master of ceremonies for the Golden Globes, although, you know, they're having a heck of a time finding anybody that's pure enough to be the host of any of this anymore. But I thought it was very interesting that they'd asked him, but he really, I think he really, kind of under the guise of humor, he really called them out, Steve.
After Sunday night, you wonder, will he be there again? Be asked
well, he
to
said
be
it
back.
Was his, he said it was his last
time. Oh, okay,
time.
Okay. Right.
And maybe that was his choice, but he probably wouldn't be asked again either.
I played it for my wife last night. We were actually watching the video, and a couple things pop out at you. At that point where he starts, if you come up here, don't do this, 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 and there were a couple breakaway shots to these people, and the look on their face was total shock. And yet, halfway, right about the point where he says, you have no business, whatever, how he rephrased it, somebody started applauding. Around the room, there was several people applauding right about that point. So somebody there was in total agreement with that actual piece of it. But the first time I heard it, I just was staring at the screen watching this video. I was like, I can't believe he's saying this. Are these his own words? If they are, fine. If not, whose words are they? And like I said,
well, he decided to say them.
Yeah, he raised more. I guess it raises more questions than answers at this point. But am I glad he said it? Oh yeah.
You know what? I think let's go to break. I'd like to talk a little bit about. Actually, you know what? We better not because. Let's go to break. And before we do that, though, it's NFL playoff time. The place to watch the games is at Hooters Restaurants. And they have plenty of TVs, so you won't miss any of the action. And if you want some delicious wings while you watch the Avs and Nuggets chase a playoff spot, Hooters is the place for you. Wednesday, Steve, is Dine-In Wing Day. All the wings you can eat for $14.99. If you don't want to cook, have Hooters wings delivered to your front door. Tomorrow evening, after the Stand for Colorado rally, I will be having a bunch of the girls over to my house, and so I will be ordering probably the buffalo shrimp because they really, really love that. And then I've also got some of those great wings. For more information, you can check out my website, go to the sponsors, and there you'll find all the information about Hooters. The Denver Nuggets will be on the road, and they'll be in Dallas tomorrow night to play the Mavericks. And the Avalanche continue their stay in New York to take on the Rangers tonight. And, of course, the NFL playoffs are this weekend, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on headlines, and we will be talking to some additional fabulous women of the West that will be speaking at the Stand for Colorado rally tomorrow. We'll be right back.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. We have all of our show recaps there. That's Kim Munson, spelled MONSON.com. We've got the brilliant and fabulous AOC on the line, Amy Oliver Cook. Before we get to her, though, I just wanted to make a comment, Steve, regarding the Golden Globes. Apparently, Tom Hanks, and he is, you know, he's a very talented and fabulous actor, and I've always really liked him. And, you know, he made the movie Saving Private Ryan, which was a very powerful movie. And as many of you know, I've interviewed over 120 World War II veterans for my America's Veterans Stories show. And that first scene in Saving Private Ryan is pretty close to the truth of what it was like going in on Omaha Beach on D-Day. And I find it somewhat amazing that these actors that have done these fabulous movies about these stories, that they don't actually really think, do they not realize that those guys stormed those beaches because they were standing against tyranny and force? And they were standing against, or again, they were standing against tyranny and force, and they were standing for freedom. And they were fighting Hitler, who, and the Nazis, and Nazi stands for National Socialist German Workers' Party. And so it's a little bit beyond me that these Hollywood actors virtue signal and do these fabulous movies, but don't seem to get the real message on that. And Tom Hanks apparently was somewhat appeared appalled at Ricky Gervais's monologue at the Golden Globes. And I just kind of found that surprising, because I think he's such a talented actor, but, you know, I'm just not that impressed with him right now.
He got an award, and I watched his acceptance, and he immediately was totally overwhelmed by the presence of his family sitting right there in front of him at the table. And then he seemed to ramble, and he got rather repetitive, but I think he, by his own admission, he was on some kind of cold medication. But Hanks is a guy who kind of, he seems to like wants to sit right on the fence. He's, to one degree, he's a guy who kept his nose clean over the years, but then I know when the Obama years first started, he was right there at the White House at those little gatherings of, you know, popular people, the in crowd. But then a couple years later, he was totally shunned. That crowd had a meeting over in France, and he went to France thinking he was going to be a part of this group again, and somehow he didn't get in. And all of a sudden, he realized that, oh my gosh, I guess I've been used. So I don't know.
I don't know either. But it was just kind of interesting, his reaction to Ricky Gervais. And again,
yeah,
I think it's going to be the comedians that are going to pull this culture back. But one of the things that we're doing is tomorrow at the Stand for Colorado rally, because it is so important that we stand for freedom. And we've seen all kinds of force from this last legislative session. And of course, these are the same folks that are still going to be under the Golden Dome. And we have on the line with us the brilliant and fabulous AOC, Amy Oliver Cook. And Amy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kim, thanks so much. I appreciate the kind words and being on your show. And you said you spoke of force. And one of the things, certainly in the energy sector, that we saw last session was continued draconian regulation on our very important oil and gas and energy development in the state of Colorado, using the heavy hand of government to really over-regulate the state of Colorado. And there is an article up on Complete Colorado just this morning that shows what happens when government uses force over freedom. So the force of government regulation over the freedom to invest. Colorado, this literally just in, again, on Complete Colorado, it says, an energy executive told the Dallas Federal Reserve, Colorado has become a no-investment state when it comes to energy development. Think about that. No investment. Think about the jobs and the freedom that creates. Think about the trickle-down effect. This just released from the Dallas Federal Reserve that people will be taking capital out of the state. Listen, capital can flee, and when there is significant government overreach, getting into people's ability to invest freely and make those decisions, because capital will make those decisions, they will leave the state. I know I only have 3 minutes tomorrow, and I'll make that point as succinctly tomorrow as possible, but this is what happens when you have the heavy hand of government.
Well, and there's another piece that Patty had pulled this headline from the Center Square. It said that a survey comparing the competitiveness of Canadian and American energy markets ranked Colorado last out of 20 jurisdictions. It was from the Fraser Institute study. It was released last month. And it says barriers to investment in oil and gas exploration and production facilities in each of these two countries and ranks five Canadian provinces and had 15 states. And it says regulatory factors were key to Colorado being ranked 20th as the least attractive. So they were ranked last out of all of these different entities for oil and gas investment. What's so amazing to me is Governor Polis, I think, had assured the oil and gas industry that he would not support Proposition 112, which was the draconian issue that was on the ballot last November that would, in essence, shut down the oil and gas industry. And I think everybody breathed a sigh of relief because the people of Colorado said, no, we don't want to chase oil and gas out of here. But then this legislature convenes and they pass within, a month, something that was probably just as detrimental as Proposition 112, and the governor signed it. I mean, were you surprised on that, Amy?
Yeah, I was surprised. Actually, they came back with something worse than 112. So 112 was a setback, 2,000-foot setback. And what they passed was, quote, what they love to call local control. But local control in this case is only a one-way street. So it was you either did bolder control at the state regulatory level or you did something more than that. And so surprise that they absolutely spit in the face of voters of Colorado, which overwhelmingly rejected that proposition. And as a result of what the state legislature did in the last session, this is what this oil and gas executive is quoted as saying: increasing regulatory pressure in Colorado has resulted in a complete loss in the value of wells in that state. And in my mind, it has become a no-investment state. The very hostile government there totally ignored the expressed wishes of the citizens of Colorado, which was expressed at the ballot box.
You know, and so let's talk about one other thing that has been amazing to me, and that is creativity and innovation. I remember 20 years ago when PBIs were wringing their hands saying that we're going to run out of oil and gas, and we at that time were dependent. Maybe I don't have my years quite right, but time goes way too quickly as I get older, Amy. But But said that we were going to run out of oil and gas. It seems like that the radical activists, all they can think about is limits. They never think about the creativity and the innovation of the human mind. And so here we have, they say that we're going to run out of oil and gas. We're dependent on the Middle East. And so the Middle East can really yank our chain from a global perspective because oil and gas certainly was powering our lives. And then you move to now, the creativity and innovation of horizontal hydraulic fracturing has unleashed energy potential. We are now an energy exporter. When all this craziness is happening over in the Middle East, you know, certainly it has all of its issues, but we are not dependent on them for energy. And so it's astonishing to me that here in Colorado, where we have this opportunity to be great energy producers, that we are using regulations. And when you hear the word regulations or mandate, that is another code word for force. When they are using that to shut down an industry that actually allows people to flourish, to thrive, to help keep us free, it's beyond understanding to me, Amy.
Absolutely correct. And I will remind everyone that the Senate Majority Leader from Boulder, Colorado, Steve Fenberg, said in a town hall less than a year ago that if he could end the extraction industry in the state of Colorado, he would. Well, he's doing it with regulation. And for Weld County, where I live, those are fighting words. I mean, you are talking about destroying our way of life, destroying our economy, destroying families, hurting K-12 education funding. I mean, we have school districts in our community that are funded over 90% by oil and gas revenue. And so when I hear somebody now admit to the Dallas Federal Reserve that Colorado is a no investment state for them, Wells have lost all of their potential, their financial potential. This is what dependence on draconian government looks like. And so what you'll also see, and it's in the state economic forecast, the drop in state severance taxes that are going to come into the state as a result of declining production.
Wow.
This is a war on the county, one of the largest oil and gas producing counties in the nation. And it's been declared by people who live, who come from Boulder and Denver.
And that is why we are standing for Colorado Tomorrow, Amy, is because we stand for everyday hardworking people to be able to thrive and flourish. And that means that we like freedom instead of force. And so I am so excited that you will be one of our fabulous Women of the West tomorrow at our Stand for Colorado rally. We'll see you 11 o'clock tomorrow morning at the on the west steps of the Capitol.
Honored to be there tomorrow, Kim. Thanks for including me.
Absolutely. And before we go to break, Jason McBride is on the line. And I always wonder what nugget of information I'm going to learn about. And today, Jason, there was something that's called the SECURE legislation. It stands for Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement. Sometimes I kind of wonder how they come up with those names. What does that mean exactly, Jason McBride?
Well, what it means, Kim, is they've made some changes to our retirement plans, including but not limited to, there's not time to cover every little part, but with IRA accounts, they've changed some things, and I believe this is also with 401ks, but one thing they did was they changed the first year that you have to take a required minimum distribution to age 72. So it used to be age 70 and a half, so they've given some folks a little bit of a reprieve that weren't ready to start taking money out of their retirement accounts. Now, if you already turned 70 and a half in 2019, you don't get to skip a year. It's only if you turn 70... Well, now I've confused myself, so I will just leave it there. If you already turned 70 and a half, you don't get to stop taking RMDs that you were already taking.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
Now, the other thing they did, which is kind of interesting, is you're allowed to continue to contribute to a traditional IRA past the age of 70 and a half, again, as long as you have earned income. Before, once you turned 70 and a half, you could not continue to put money in a traditional IRA. Now, what's interesting, Kim, is they didn't say there was any age limit at all. So I guess as long as you still have earned income, if you were 80 years old, you could contribute to a traditional IRA. But the funny part is at age 72, you'll have to take a required minimum distribution. So it could be a case where you're putting money in the front end and taking money out the back end in the same year.
My eyes are glazing over, Jason.
I'm sorry.
Okay, now, one of the things, when I saw this, I think back in December, when they looked at the money on this, this actually will raise additional tax revenue for the government. You know, typically they try to figure out different ways to raise tax revenue. And so these things seem good to me for, you know, for the individual. Mm-hmm. But what my understanding is that they ding the beneficiaries, not the maybe not the spouse, but the beneficiaries after the person has passed on.
Well, what they did was they unstretched what's called the stretch IRA. So now, yes, this is, quote, the bad part. With a few exceptions, non-spousal beneficiaries who inherit in this year and beyond will now only have 10 years to empty out an inherited IRA where before, Kim, since 2000 or 2001, in many cases, each beneficiary was allowed to use their own life expectancy to empty out that account. So that time period has been compressed down to 10 years. The thought being that the money gets out of those accounts quicker, the taxes on it gets paid quicker, and it's back out into the taxable world quicker instead of being kind of hidden in that stretch IRA for, you know, decades possibly.
Okay. And then there's just quickly two other things regarding kids, right?
Kids.
Yep.
Yes. A couple other things, as they said, you can use your 529 account for qualified student loan repayments. So now you can use up to $10,000 a year out of a 529 to repay student loans. And also, penalty-free withdrawals of $5,000 from your 401k to defray the cost of having a child or adopting a child. Now, notice I didn't say a tax-free withdrawal. You just get out of the 10% early withdrawal penalty. I assume the $5,000 would still be taxable.
Okay, okay. Jason, I so appreciate all the work that you do to bring this information to me and to our listeners. This is really helpful. And, you know, when you get right down to it, you saw in this last election, that people really vote with their pocketbooks. They really, their own economic freedom and well-being is very important to them. So the nuggets of information that you bring every morning is really terrific. And so if people want more information, they can go to our landing page together. That's airpresidential.com. You are a senior vice president over there at Presidential Wealth Management. And again, that's airpresidential.com. And Jason, thanks so much. And I know we're going to see you, hopefully, tomorrow at the Stanford, Colorado rally.
No, I absolutely plan to be there, Kim, and I hope I don't scare off everyone else.
You won't. So
taking a big chance.
Not at all. Jason, thank you so much, and I'll be looking forward to talking to you tomorrow morning, and then we will see you at the rally at 11. So
have a great show.
Thanks so much. That's Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. We're going to go to break. When we come back, another of our fabulous women of the West, Beth Fisher, is on the line, and she will be talking about medical freedom. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out my website, kimmunson.com. Also go to stanfordcolorado.com. That will have all kinds of information regarding the rally tomorrow. I'm thrilled to have on the line with me another of our fabulous Women of the West speakers, Beth Fisher. She will be talking about medical freedom tomorrow. Beth, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Kim.
Why is medical freedom so important to you, Beth?
Oh, it's absolutely vital. A government can't tell me what to put into my body or into the bodies of my children. It's just straight up, this is from Nuremberg after the Second World War and all the things that the Nazis did. We said that this wasn't a good idea, that someone else dictates our choices.
Well, and, you know, so this can go across the spectrum. This last legislative session, there was, I can't remember, was it 1312? Is that what it was?
The forced
vaccination bill. And it took me a while to kind of get my brain around this issue, Beth, because I received vaccinations as a child, and I vaccinated my children, and I thought it was a good idea. And so it took me a while to really take a look at this, and I realized that it's not that that people are saying that we should not do vaccinations, but it's this whole government force component that is of great concern. And so that's where this is really coming down at. And I read 1312, and what I saw was that there would be an unelected board that could add more and more requirements to a list that's already expanding on required vaccinations, and that we would not have any opportunity really as people to have a conversation about that, to really, you know, push back on that force. And so it was at that point, Beth, that I became very concerned about this.
It's a huge concern. 1312 did want to expand the schedule, but at the end of the day, I didn't care what other people want to do. I have a choice, and I want to exercise that choice, that right. So it comes down to, if you fully follow the schedule, if you partially follow the schedule, or if you don't want to do any of the schedule, that should be not even a question, because it's a medical decision, and it's a proponent of bodily autonomy that each one of us should decide individually. And the state wanted to force parents to follow along with whatever they want them to do and have them do it in a way that they're required to. The state is saying that they're requiring people to, the 1312 bill would have required people to go to the health department themselves to get an exemption. And in Colorado right now, we are a free state. You can choose to have a personal exemption. You can have a medical exemption. You can choose a religious exemption. And the way that that is done is you write out, I want to take an exemption, and you hand it into your school. And it is a relationship with you and your school, or if you're homeschooling, you have that on file for anyone to check. And it's a decision that you make, and the state isn't involved in it. And 1312 was a bill that was trying to get the health department in and require us to go. And I've heard a huge argument about equal force and saying, well, you know, parents that take exemptions are lazy. That is the farthest thing from the truth ever, because parents that choose not to vaccinate, we're bucking against the system, and not necessarily, again, it's a choice. It's a choice that we each make. And most of the people that I know that choose an exemption have taken hours and hours and hours of research, and we have really dug in and, again, made strong decisions about our families and what we want to do with them. But regardless of this, the whole point is about bodily autonomy. And from a conservative viewpoint, I don't need a government to tell me what to do with my children or my body. And eventually they're going to come to adult vaccinations as well, because most of us who are above the age of 30 have been vaccinated. And then they'll start saying, well, are you up to date? And again, it's a right of medical autonomy in terms of our bodies that the state doesn't have a say in.
Well, Beth, I'm really excited that you'll be speaking tomorrow. And what I see is that there really can be a free market component to this, that where we look at informed consent on vaccinations, and we can look at it and say, you know, I see the benefits here. I see that there might be some potential risks. I outweigh those. And then I have the choice. I will make the choice to do A or B. But this force that I'm seeing and the potential that we would have an unelected board that would mandate things that we don't even know have been maybe even invented yet, that really is something that I felt that we needed to push back on. So I'm thrilled that you will be one of our speakers tomorrow at the Stand for Colorado rally. We're expecting a 61-degree day, Beth.
Awesome. I'm excited.
Okay.
It really is. Informed consent is really important, because who actually, when they're at their doctor, is given a copy of the vaccine package insert or talked about the risks involved? It just doesn't happen. And that's what we're about. I want people to be able to make informed choices and have their bodily autonomy respected by our government.
Well, Beth, I look forward to having you speak tomorrow at the Stand for Colorado rally.
Awesome. Thank you so much. See you then, Kim.
Okay, great. And on the line with us is Juliana Day. Juliana Day is going to be talking about educational freedom. We saw this last legislative session, really a kind of a forced mandate on curriculum. And Juliana mobilized, and she is really all about, you know, parents having the freedom to make the choices on their kids' educational freedom. And also this whole, was it 1032, Juliana? Is that, do I have my numbers right? I have too many numbers going around in my brain this morning. Juliana Day, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Thank you so much for the invitation. Yeah, the bill is HB 19-1032. It's actually the law now. It was approved by Governor Polis March 31st. And yeah, I've been very passionate about just fighting this bill because I know the damage that can cause to children. So for me, it's all about freedom. And for the people who know me and my background, I was born in Lima, Peru, and during difficult times in the country when Peru was in the hands of authoritarian men who jailed dissenters, nationalized entire industries. And during my teenager years, I witnessed when Peru went bankrupt. Peru became one of the most indebted countries in the world. And it was because the government created these programs that intended to pay by printing and borrowing money. Hyperinflation was part of my life. So it was extremely difficult. And for people who don't understand how easy things can change, my parents were middle class. And because of these radical ideas, all of a sudden, my family became very poor. So waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and trying to get the basics because if at 4, a loaf of bread calls 4 intis, all of a sudden, 2 hours later, it was 10. So just to add that to how bad it was, the country, it became so unstable and violent with terrorist groups like the Shiny Path. So for me, it's something very personal. I'm going to do whatever it takes to preserve freedom in this country. So because of this reality, I remember when I got information about the 1032, I realized, hey, this is force. They're trying to impose this radical agenda into the minds of the kids. They want to indoctrinate little children. So this is wrong. So I embarked in this big task to start just going to the community and telling people, be very careful. It's coming. This is not something new. It's not just happening in Colorado. It's been around the country, and even it's orchestrated at the international level. So they are forces who are trying to indoctrinate kids. We're trying to change completely the culture, and they want to make it these radical ideas to instill, especially in the classrooms. So it's time. I encourage people, and especially when I've been going around the community, telling parents, you know, just the time to remain silent, to accept this imposition, this form of tyranny. No more. We have to stand firm. We have to fight back. I've been telling parents that when they need to go into the website and look at the school board districts and start just looking at the times when there are these public meetings and go to these meetings and just send a clear message to these representatives. We didn't elect them to impose this type of agenda into our children. That is wrong. We already, you know, the students are already living in a sex-saturated subculture that cheapens relationships. The proponents of the bill that already passed exacerbates even further this situation. So it's time for us to fight back. Remain silent is not an option anymore.
Well, that really goes to our quote that we had today from Edwin Burke, where he said that all that is essential for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Now, I wanted to just one other thing on this 1032, which was passed and then by the legislature last year and then signed by the governor. It is it's unconstitutional here in Colorado because in the Colorado Constitution, the curriculum, my understanding, is to be controlled by the local school district. And so they just stomped all over the Colorado Constitution, not only when they were stomping all over parental rights on this, Juliana.
That's right, because in the state of Colorado, there's a local control of education. It gives our state school districts the right and ability to make decisions on issues such as the curriculum. The state legislature has no business interfering in these decisions that are best left to local school board. So this is completely unconstitutional. That's not the right, the role of the government. So that's what is so critical for us to demand, just to not to be taught this type of curriculum in our schools. There's one city already, the city of Monument, who already sent a resolution that they are not going to allow this type of teaching in the schools. So I encourage other school districts to do the same thing.
Well, fantastic. And Juliana Day, I'm so excited that you are one of our fabulous women of the West that will be speaking tomorrow, 11 o'clock on the West Steps of the Capitol, and looking at these issues as freedom people. And just one other quick comment. I've looked at some of the stats, and many of our young kids are not proficient in reading, writing, and math. Those are the things that we need to be teaching them. Of course, I think that music and art is also very important, but reading, writing, and arithmetic, if you have those skills, it sets you up for success in life. And that's where I think we need to be focusing our curriculum on our kids instead of, this forced sex education bill. So, Juliana Day, thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, it's going to be an honor for me to be tomorrow with those wonderful women, with you, and to speak about these issues that are critical in our state, in our country. So thank you so much, Kim, and let's do it.
Okay.
Let's fight it. And, we can do this. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and we'll see you tomorrow. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we will be talking with Natalie Minton, and she is a fierce protector of TABOR, Colorado's Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. And so this is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and check out standforcolorado.com. It has all kinds of great information regarding our Stand for Colorado rally tomorrow, 11 o'clock on the west steps of the Capitol. We have on the line with us Natalie Minton, another fabulous woman of the West. She will be speaking about protecting TABOR, Colorado's Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. Natalie Minton, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on, Kim.
And it seems that PBIs continue to want to chip away at TABOR. We saw Prop CC this last time around, and the people of Colorado said, hey, keep your hands out of my pocketbook. And it looks like to me that there's going to be a big concerted effort to try to get rid of TABOR possibly this year.
There's a few balls in the air, and yeah, they did not get the message. And Prop CC was not the only recent ballot issue that failed, going down in flames with taxpayers protecting their right to put moderate limits on government, keep their TABOR refunds, keep the fair income tax. So we have, spoken out at the ballot box multiple times. They don't seem to be getting the message. So they're going to be coming back. We're not sure what direction they're going to take. They're testing the water. There is a potential initiative called Initiative Number 3, which would do a full repeal of the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. That just came back from the Supreme Court. Might go again to the title board. There's a few other actions that the tax and spenders may take. So we're not sure exactly, but trust, we're on guard and always looking for more recruits. As Colorado, we need to reach all four corners to stop however they're going to attack us and our wallets.
Okay, now the Supreme Court, it seemed like I saw a headline last week that the people that want to do this full repeal of Tabor, they did not want to include Tabor, Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, in the title. Because when everyday hardworking people see that, they're like, wait a minute, we do want to protect that. But it seemed like the Supreme Court ruled in the favor of everyday people. Did I see that headline correctly, Natalie?
Yeah, it was a win for our side, so that it does right now. It'll include Tabor, Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. But we wanted more. We wanted a little bit about what is the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, that it includes a fair income tax. It includes moderate growth limit. It prohibits local mandates without funding. So we won by at least getting the Tabor Taxpayers' Bill of Rights in the ballot title. And Carol Hedges and Steve Briggs, the proponents of this boondoggle to take our protections away, were just totally crushed when the title board said that needed to be in there. They said if voters see that, our ballot issue is dead. So you read it correctly. It was a win for us, but not exactly as much as we wanted.
You know, and Natalie, I think that Americans, Coloradans, inherently think that there is actual honest deliberation on these different laws. And as we just saw this, there really isn't. There's manipulation of the words. We continue to see that with ballot initiatives. When we see the words without raising taxes, you know, that's a big flag to me, because what that means is they'll either be extending taxes or they might be repurposing something. And when I say they, I'm talking about the PBIs.
Yes, very deceptive titles. That would be a great message if we just, you know, had enough people knowing that, for all the neighbors on next door to go, nope, it starts with without increasing taxes. Red flag. You know, that should be a popular, easy to understand thing, warning. And yeah, they've been very deceptive. There's other ballot language that also leads it out. So in local issues, you'll see this is what the Initiative 3 people wanted. They just wanted it to read Article 10, Section 20. So anytime you see Article 10, Section 20, that means that they are going after your taxpayers' Bill of Rights. Because when's the last time you saw government want to lower your taxes or protect your financial interest?
Well, and actually, Natalie, I was asleep at the wheel for a while on this, and we have seen that it could be like in your park district or your library district, your school district, you know, on different ballot initiatives where they have had to come to the people and ask them for a tax increase. If you see, as you just mentioned, Title 10, whatever that was, if you see that reference.
Well, let me say it again. Article 10. Section 20. It's okay. So important, but go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, good. Article 10, Section 20. If you see that anywhere in the body of the ballot question, the answer should be no, because what they're asking is that they can keep any excess of your Tabor tax refunds, that they can keep that without having to ask you. And so if you ever see that in a ballot question, the answer should be no. Natalie, we're getting close to the end of our time here. What's the final thought that you really want to leave with our listeners? And you will be speaking tomorrow, 11 o'clock, at our rally on the west steps of the Capitol. It's going to be 61 degrees, which is great. Natalie, what is really the thing you want to hit home with our listeners today?
What I want to hit home with, people think about rallies being long events. They're at work. How am I going to take time off? You should be able to take, anybody should be able to take a little bit of a longer lunch break. It's going to be, I expect, 11 a.m. to, let's say, 12:15 p.m. A little maybe stretch beyond that. That's an hour 15 minutes. The opening day of the legislative session, the Colorado world in politics, you can bet they are going to be focusing on many big things, but they're also going to take notice of that large crowd out on the West Steps, and we need everybody down there for whatever their issue may be, for freedom, in favor of freedom. And as I made a little sign, if it has to do with force on the people like you and I, that the word should be postponed indefinitely. And in legislative speak, that means take it out, snuff it, doesn't come back. So if it's about freedom, vote for it. And we need everybody down on those West Steps. Come talk to me if you want to help with the Tabor movement to protect our rights. You've had a lineup of other wonderful speakers, something that fits everybody who loves the freedom of Colorado.
And, you know, we're coming together because we are freedom people. And if freedom is good on this issue, it's probably good on this other issue as well. So, Natalie Minton, we will see you tomorrow, 11 o'clock, on the West Steps of the Capitol. And so excited that you are one of our speakers at our Stand for Colorado rally. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's going to be a great day.
Okay, thanks so much. And our quote for today is, bad laws are the worst form of tyranny. And that is up by Edmund Burke. Bad laws are the worst form of tyranny. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.